It's a Tuesday. That means Mitty is in studio.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, we got some news to talk to you about. And maybe the theme of the day can be something like deal or no deal. Mitty, do you know why I'm saying that?
Well, first off, I love that show. So I'm hoping that I get to choose between a curtain and a tiny little box that might have a zonk in it.
Stay focused right into that microphone. I know that you like to jump around a little bit. I'm with you. I can hear your enthusiasm, but this is an important question. Are you watching this new age Deal or No Deal Island that is on Monday nights?
I sure am.
You watched last night?
Oh, I love Aaron. Aaron's the man.
I like them all. And Boston Rob is on there. For people that don't know, this dude is like a game show lifer. He started out in Survivor probably 10 years ago, and he's done a bunch of things. And everybody knows he's like the guy, the puppet master triangle guy.
He's gaming it.
But, I mean, the thing is, he seems pretty cool, and he's pretty honest. I mean, for the most part, like telling people what their situations are. Now, maybe he's cutting deals with other people behind their back, but so what?
Bit, yeah. Hey, I think it's pretty cool. Like, if you watch the show, you get to see more than they see on the island, obviously. And I think it's pretty cool how he's like, hey, can I just take that knife out of your back? I got to go throw it in somebody else for just a minute, and then we'll get it right back in there. Don't you worry.
Right. And so you know everybody's going to turn on him eventually. But last night, for people that don't know, there was a challenge going on where everybody that was on this island, there's like eight people left, and they were in teams of two. Well, each team had to reach into a clear box to unscrew these pieces of wood that they would then reattach to one another to reach up to extend up to ignite an explosive. But inside of the box were bunches of Amity, and they looked poisonous, didn't they?
They were snapping and biting left and right, so I hope they weren't poisonous, because I think a couple of those guys got bit like three or four times.
A bunch of times. That was the two.
Who's the big dude? Who's the big dude?
I don't even remember the names. They're all nameless.
He's in there going, yep, go ahead, bite me. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care.
I want
bite
it.
Me.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't deal with that. I am so afraid of snakes. I am so afraid of snakes, Mitty, that I am afraid of worms. Does that make you think less of me?
Well, absolutely, but not in a bad way.
I just don't like to have the worms. I think they're in the snake family. I hate snakes that much. If I see a snake like in here, I am gone. You won't believe how fast I could go.
A worm is like a distant cousin to the snake, I think. They fall under the ew category.
I'm not afraid of worms, really. I'm more just like I don't like them, and I don't want to put them on the fishing hook when that white milky stuff is coming oozing out of them when they hook them in the. So that's how we're starting the show.
All right.
That's how we're starting the show today, with worms, snakes in the box, deal or no deal. Yeah, who's this dude that hosts this show? Joe something or other. He was from True Blood, the vampire show back in the day. The women love this guy, Joe Mastrangelo or something like that. I mean, he looks like a good-looking dude, I'm sure. The women on there are, like, melting for this guy.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite character on the show? Because I got to say again, mine's Aaron. Did you see the episode where they had to look each other in the eye and try to convince each other to pick a different side.
Yeah, I guess the case. And Boston Rob was
Boston
reading
Rob
everybody.
Says, did you just reverse me? And Aaron says, no, that's a reverse, a reverse, a reverse, a reverse.
Yes. Oh, okay. This is the guy you're talking about. Yeah, Aaron is the guy. They all think they can beat him at the end in the last stage of challenges. So they all are planning to, like, partner up with him to try and go till the very end.
Of course. And every challenge, he's the smallest, he's the weakest, he's the scaredest. And and every challenge, you see him, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to be very much helping here. And at the end, it's going to be something that he's great at or something. You know, there's going to be something where he gets a chance to shine.
I will say, you've thrown it in a couple of times without any preparation or any forewarning with me. Your accent imitation of this Aaron character is
pretty spot on.
It's pretty right on. It actually is. If Aaron was here, that is kind of what he would sound like. For people that aren't listening or aren't watching the show, I apologize. Let's move on to sports. Last night, you have to say LSU and Iowa. It was a treat to watch, and the sportswomanship that was on display from all sides in this battle was very impressive. I will say there was so much contact on some of the plays going to the rim, and I didn't see many of the women complaining, and it was really refreshing and nice to see. I don't think that's a component of conversation you're going to hear on any other sports talk show, but for all the contact that went on going on drives to the hoop, they just didn't complain very much. A little bit here and there, and it was nice to see Mitty.
Oh, of course. Well, anytime you get to watch Caitlin Clark play, it's always fun.
She's fantastic.
41 points in 40 minutes.
Well, here's something that you're going to be able to critique me on, Mitty. And people that listen know, I'm 50 years old. I have been a former MVP of the over 40 league in Hampstead, New Hampshire, Masters Basketball League. Former MVP, multiple time number one pick.
Retired.
I am retired for the last 3 to 4 years. I've not been exercising very much. But on the positive side, I am roughly 6'3", 190 pounds, in better shape than most people my age. This may be sad, and maybe it's because I'm not playing ball anymore. But, Mitty, the overwhelming thought that I had last night watching is like, dude, I'd be the best player on that court if I was out there playing right now. And I really believe it. I really believe that Caitlin Clark would not score as many points as she had last night if I was guarding her in the game. The defenders are so slow side to side. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just watching. I'm like, and I shouldn't be thinking like that, but it's just an overwhelming testimony to me of like just how much more athletic men are than women.
Oh.
Horrible to go there, but the reason I bring it up, I don't want to go too deep, is just this stuff where, you know, like men are invading into some women's sports and winning titles, and it's just like, dude, it's not fair.
All right, if I was to get all three of those extension sticks out of the box and battle against those snakes and get bit about 20 times, and then you're talking about men being better than women, I am not touching that with a pole that has 6 extensions. But I will say I respect your opinion, and I love my wife. We're going to go with that.
Caitlin Clark last night, 41 points.
40 minutes.
7 rebounds, 12 assists, and the great
Beast.
Thing about it is she doesn't wear down. That is the thing that I give her so much credit for.
Is that because she's going up against girls, Jim?
No. No, oh,
okay,
it's because,
right.
Listen.
Just double checking.
She's an amazing shooter, first of all. I never would be able to shoot like her, ever. No chance whatsoever. But just the it's annoying to me to watch some of these players go and, like, they're getting rebounds and not even jumping. And I'm like, listen, yeah. I'm taller than them. And this is just, it's sad that I have come down to this in life. But it's just the reality of physics, science, et cetera, et cetera. Like, tonight at 9 o'clock on ESPN, I saw a high school boys' McDonald's All-American game is going to be played, I guess, tonight. And I said to my wife as I'm watching this, I'm like, now, if you watch this game and then you watch tomorrow at 9 o'clock, the high school boys are going to be out there. And it's like, it's going to be just night and day. Like, these boys, the girls on these teams would not score a point, like, against the boys.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, no, these girls are in college. Those boys are in high school. You think, I'm like, every one of the kids tonight is going to be able to dunk and do crazy stuff. It's just like, it's just such a difference in athleticism. But all the credit in the world to Caitlin Clark. And I will say, Angel Reese, I my respect for her grew an absolute ton between yesterday and today for the way she handled herself. She seems like maybe she's somebody who just stirs things up in the media to get press, but in the end is actually probably a pretty good person.
Oh, yeah. I think
I threw you off with this stuff. I know.
When it all comes down to it, we're gonna see Caitlin Clark finish out this year, get into the WNBA, be an absolute beast. And she is, I'm personally going to push for a one-on-one a game against her for you.
I would love to see it. I wonder what the score would be, honestly, Mitty. She would beat me. She would beat me one-on-one. I just know from a defensive standpoint.
Well, she can hit from anywhere.
Well, that's it. And it's really her
step
back.
We'd get tired playing against her. You and I would be holding our backs.
The girls guarding her last night got very tired, too. That's what I was watching. It's just, and it's natural. But that's the thing with Caitlin is she continues. To even though she's tired, she's not slowing down at all. And it's the step back. When she takes the one dribble and the girls catch a, you know, going one step backwards, boom, she's back and letting it fly with a hand in her face and can nail it. It doesn't affect her at all.
All right, let me ask you this. What if you had a team of Caitlin Clark clones, five Caitlin Clarks going up against, let's say, a good team of high school players, all boys. Not McDonald's mm-hmm. superstars, but like a decent
Pinkerton Academy
sure,
from this year
sure.
would smash.
You think they'd beat her?
Yeah, they would not only beat her, they'd destroy her. Yes.
I don't know.
That's, yes.
I think the moral of the story is that we're talking about it, so she's that good.
Mitty, that's why I'm talking about
it. Right.
It's
amazing.
It's fun to talk about. And no, she's the greatest basketball player, female basketball player I've ever seen. And I watched the entire game last night. And guess what? I'm going to watch the next game. I even watched some of the UConn game afterwards. And I'll tell you what, this Paige Brueckers woman, she's pretty darn good, too. UConn against Iowa is going to be a heck of a battle in the Final Four.
Before you go on commercial break, I will say that... come on. Did I really just do that?
It happens, Mitty. It's UConn.
Oh, greatest athlete of all time. Who's the greatest athlete of all time? Quick. Because it's think Serena about it. Williams.
Let's think about it when we come back from this show. Commercial. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. We got worms. We got snakes. Caitlin Clark. Let's talk some Celtics when we come back.
Ooh, I like that.
During the commercial break, me and Mitty are talking about my basketball prowess from back in the day and from nowadays. I have prowess if I step on that court right now. But I'm not stepping on the court today. I'm talking about UConn and USC stepping on the court. And this Paige Brueckers, just so people know, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. UConn wins. She was player of the year in college basketball, I guess, in 2021. Last year, she tore her ACL. And was out for the whole year. So this is a nice redemption tour almost for UConn, because prior to last year, they had made the Final Four 14 consecutive years. UConn Huskies women had made the Final Four. I didn't know this until I read it in an article this morning. 14 years in a row, man.
Didn't they also have the most wins in a row or something?
It was like 90-something.
Like
I mentioned
ridiculous.
This yesterday. Like every single game. That was over the course of like 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah.
They won 90 games, 2 titles in a row. They were the best. Now this year, they're like an afterthought. And I guess they have 5 or 6 girls on their team who are like injured and out, so their rotation is down to 7 people. But when I watched UConn last night, I'm like, dude, I think they're going to be able to beat Iowa. I'm real curious. But yesterday I did say Iowa was going to lose by LSU to 20, by 20 points.
I think you got to remember that this is a playoff game, and Caitlin Clark is the women's equivalent of Michael Jordan, and she is not going to allow that to happen. She's going to get out on the court, and she's going to do what she needs to do. And then we're going to sit her down with Tatum, and we're going to have her explain how that works.
Nice, Mitty.
Yeah.
Nice segue there. Speaking of segues here, I know you had mentioned as we were going to commercial, you think Serena Williams is the greatest female athlete of all time?
Greatest all-around athlete.
Now, what do you have some stats, right, or are we going to hear like a 5-minute diatribe?
Oh, I don't know. I could probably start on her and end on Twinkies, but I think she is the greatest athlete of all time. Not women's, not against what she's doing. She is the most dominant human being that has ever played in sports. She doesn't choose to play against only women. She doesn't choose to play against no men. She is an absolute beast. She has been her entire career. She was the greatest tennis player of all time. She's got the most wins, most Grand Slams.
I think she might be one Grand Slam short, actually, of Margaret Court.
Is she?
Yeah, I think it's a nasty rumor that she's not there. You know why? Because my daughter did a report on Serena earlier this year. I would have said the same thing as you, Mitty. I would have said that she does have the most Grand Slams. I think, actually, she does if you count doubles. I'm sorry. So you're probably right there. If you count the doubles championship she's had with her sister, then she does have the most. But the most singles major titles, I'm pretty sure, is still this court woman. But you know something? I'm going to say you might be right on point with this, because I do believe she is the greatest female, just for as far as tennis. I think it's not a question. Like, she's better than Steffi Graf was, Martina, Chris Everett Lloyd, anybody else you want to say. For me growing up, she's by far the best tennis player who's ever played. So that in and of itself would say, hey, the gap between her and anybody else would might make her the greatest athlete. That's a pretty good argument by you.
You got a few small stats in here. I mean, I'm just looking at it now. She's got 367 singles wins. I mean, do you know how long it takes to play one game of tennis?
She's great. We get it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't know who would be the second greatest female athlete of all time, honestly. I mean, but we want to talk about, like, Olympians and stuff like that. The 2024 Olympics are coming up. Because if you ask me who the greatest all-time athlete might be, I mean, I instantly go to kind of Carl Lewis. But that's Olympic dude, just because he won 4 gold medals and won Olympics for 100-meter, 200-meter, and the long jumps. Like, dude, that guy was crazy freak. But then the Jesse Owens dude back in the 1930s, I think, did the same type of a thing. So, I mean,
Michael Phelps. That's my answer to that. Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Well, a heck of an athlete.
Heck of an athlete. You're right. There we go. So there's a walk down memory lane. Let's walk down the current lane with the Boston Celtics.
All right, let's go.
118-104 against Charlotte. I got a little bit of a problem with the stat line. I will say I didn't watch a ton of the game because I was watching LSU Iowa. And that says something right there. Maybe it's just my dream that I could be out there actually playing in that game against LSU or Iowa. But no, I wanted to watch that game more than I wanted the Celtics, because the Celtics are kind of boring right now. 118-104, here's my problem with the stat line, people. Yeah, we win. That's great. Tatum, 9 for 19 for 25 points.
Also Brown.
Yeah, no Brown. No Brown last night.
Oh, who else got 25 points?
Well, I'm about to tell you. Oh. I see Jason Tatum 4 for 10 from three. I don't like that. No. I just don't like settling into shooting all these threes. But what I don't like even more, Drew Holiday 1 for 11 from the field, 0 for 8 from three.
I need Drew Holiday making plays, not making shots.
Exactly. Drew Holiday does not need to be shooting his 8 3-pointers.
Third, fourth option.
This is bad habit building. This is what I talked about 2 to 3 weeks ago here. As we're going towards the end of the season, you cannot fall into these bad habits. The Celtics have the best team by far. And last night, Sam Hauser comes out. Like, we win 118-104. Oh, great. Sam Hauser had a great day. 25 points, Mitty.
Right.
7 for 11. From three.
Not bad.
That's fantastic, right? That's partly why we won. But here's the issue. If Sam Hauser is on the court in the playoffs, he is going to get exposed on the defensive end. He is not a good defensive player. You're not going to win a title with Sam Hauser on the court, is what I'm telling you. He can shoot. His defense is atrocious, and a good team is going to attack him. This is a man who needs to play 10 minutes per game. So you want to sit back and play these games as we're winding down the regular season, jacking up threes from all over the place. It is the wrong message to send as you're going into the playoffs. I'm just planting that seed with people out there.
If you go back to the last championship with the that first big three, you had a player very similar to Hauser on the court with Eddie House, although Eddie House knew his role, and he knew that at the end of the game he was going to come in, he was going to play some, not garbage minutes by any stretch, important minutes, but his job was to get the ball and shoot in very key moments when they were making comebacks. And Sam Hauser seems to be taking on a role of, oh, I'm one of the big three too.
You know, I agree with you.
I can't do that.
It's fine because everybody searches him out, Mitty, because what's going to happen with this team is everybody's so dangerous off the dribble. Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, and Tatum, like, they cause so much attention to be paid on the defensive end that you kind of like sag off of Hauser. Well, everybody in the building on the Celtics knows, dude, if Hauser, they're sagging off him, we need to get him the ball, and it doesn't take but a second for him to jack it up there.
Oh, yeah, he's quick. Got a real fast release.
It's perfect. He's the best shooter in the NBA for my money. Like, I want the dude shooting threes. It's just a matter of on the defensive end.
He's got nothing. He's a young Duncan Robinson. He's just like Duncan Robinson.
It's very similar.
Same player.
Very similar skill set.
Sitting on the bench until it's his time to go off a pick and pop a three. That's all they're doing.
And
but Hauser, as I said, he's taking too many. His ego's starting to get a little bigger. They're talking about him on the radio a little bit, and he's getting a little attention. So I think naturally that's going to get in his head, and he's going to think, wow, I can do this. Yeah, I'm going to take some shots. And that's fine. He's a shooter. He's a great shooter. But he needs to know his role.
And as you get against better defenders on better teams, those defenses are going to be a little bit closer to him.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit, you know, he's going to rush his shot just a little bit more. Then you miss a couple. Now, all of a sudden, down the other end of the court, the other team scores a couple times against him. Bad mojo going into a timeout. The Celtics team is too good. Do not put your foot off of this gas, Celtics. don't sit around jacking up threes because Charlotte stinks. I mean, look at this. You know who played good for Charlotte last night?
Grant Williams.
10 out of 16, Mitty. 23 points. Like, this guy is a cast-off. He would be the 10th or 11th best player on our team. We're letting him score 23 points against us.
Did you see how awkward the transactions were with him last night?
I didn't watch.
So Jason Tatum gives Grant Williams his big bro hug because he's got to look like a good sport. And I just think it's hilarious how much they talk about how, oh, yeah, we love Grant Williams. He was such a great part of this team. We love him. Oh, he's a great guy. Yeah, nobody's mad at him. It's like, you know, when somebody says, we really love him enough times, it really starts to sound like, man, I'm glad he's gone.
I will say, though, Mitty, because we traded him over to Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Dallas got rid of him to go to Charlotte. And that was in this year. Like, he was on Dallas for less than a year before they traded him. And the word coming out of there was the reason why they traded him is he talked too much, he was annoying the other guys, and he wasn't practicing hard, and he wasn't playing that well, right? So now he goes over to Charlotte, and when that word came out on Twitter, I will say Jason Tatum said, I just saw this a couple weeks ago, Grant Williams was a great teammate. So Tatum came in out of nowhere to defend the guy. He obviously likes him.
Well, of course he likes him, but just there's really no sense to keep hanging on. I mean, when you talk about something too much, like I said, it sounds like you're trying to make people believe something, but I don't know. I think Grant Williams was a bit of a nuisance in the locker room. I think he ran his mouth a little too much, and everybody just wants to keep the peace because we're living in 2024 and everybody gets a medal.
There you go. Well, last year, I mean, I wasn't giving out any medals last year. In the playoffs against Miami, if people remember, we lost the first three games. Okay?
I'm going to hit my shots.
We lost the first game of the series, the Eastern Conference Championship Finals. Game two, we were up by like 8 points, if I remember correct, with a matter of like 7 minutes left or something. We were dominating the game, and Grant Williams got in Jimmy Butler's face and was talking trash. And then Jimmy Butler proceeded to come down and like score three times in a row on Grant Williams.
Sure did.
You cannot talk trash like that and then have the other team just come down and destroy you. Or if you do, then you're getting traded.
Nah, you gotta represent. Back your words up.
There we go. Or don't talk. That's why. Put me out there on the court against LSU and Iowa. This is the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. This is NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. We're going to talk some Red Sox when we come back.
Oh, I like that.
Think the people want a Red Sox update?
Of course they do.
They want to hear more about Red Sox than they do about me and my fear of like worms and stuff like that, I'm sure.
Well, I suppose so. But worms are pretty cool too.
Don't discriminate against the worms. Don't have a day of recognition for worms. 5 minutes with Mitty is something I had written down, and this is off the cuff, but I was like, you know, I wonder if people out there are curious at all about this voice on the radio. You are a voice on the radio right now, Mitty. And one thing I remember when we first met, you told me a story about, you know, the music business for you and within your family and stuff. Do you want to talk at all about the fact that you used to be the lead singer in a band, right?
I was, yes.
The band. You want to tell people, like, you almost went big time, it sounds like to me. I don't think that's overstating things when I hear what you said.
I was the singer of a band called Till We Die. Played with a guy named Joe, Dave, and Mike. We had a 4-piece band, played some hard rock all over. We did a couple tours. We toured with the guys from Rob Zombie, Stained, Godsmack. We played with Black Label Society up at the SNU in Manchester, like some big stuff. My dad also played bass for Aerosmith for about a year.
See, that was the one piece I didn't want to bring up on the air, but I wanted you to do it if we could dive into that. So not saying I don't want to talk about you, I just want to talk about your dad.
That's
but
okay.
Let's table your tour experience and stuff to talk about your dad. You just said toured with Aerosmith for an entire year, and I'm talking, are they leaving the country during this tour or what?
No, it was a lot of stadiums here in America, football stadiums and whatnot.
Around what years was this? Sorry,
late '70s.
All right, late '70s. Yeah, he's touring with Aerosmith. And how does he get to be part of the band?
Well, it started off with a sick bass player and a one night fill in that just kind of kept going because the illness. I don't recall what my father said the illness was, but he just.
Your dad filled in one night.
Time. It just kept going. He's got a few cool stories too, you know, talking about Steve Tyler sharing a bus with him and all that stuff. And I guess he's always been quite the personality, of course, you know, with Steve Tyler. You know, he tells me the silly stuff. I want to hear the dirt, you know, but he tells me the whole, you know, Steve Tyler jumps up out of his seat and he's like, hey, let's go to McDonald's. I want a cheeseburger. You know, I get to hear those stories. And I get to hear the stories about meeting Faye Dunaway and Peter Wolf and you know, so just all kinds of famous people that are just huge.
And they were all coming like out back to party after the shows and stuff like that? Or what? How's that? The late 70s, that must have been a real crazy time. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, we don't want to say anything wrong on the radio exposing like...
That's fair.
Yeah, you know what I mean, with your dad telling his personal stories about celebrities and stuff like that, but... Pretty cool. And you were growing up in this environment and what? Like he's telling you these things from a young age and
no,
you think it's cool to be in music? No. What?
No, he told, you know, he's always been a musician. And when I was a kid, I knew he was a musician. And, you know, occasionally we got to go up on stage and hit a wood block with a drumstick. But I didn't really know much of anything when I was young. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that my dad actually told me some real stuff. You know, some real juice from those days. And
you were in music by that time, but into your 30s.
Yes.
So what, your dad was like watching from afar? Did he put you into music lessons and stuff, or he was just secretly hoping? Like, I'm definitely trying to force my kid to play basketball.
He supported my choices, but he never pushed me in any direction one way or the other.
Cool.
I just always loved singing. And I still sing all the time. I can't stop. It's just always, I got music going on in my head and I got to sing along to the tune.
Can't stop. Won't stop. Maybe you'll sing a little tune here in segment four. Would you feel the pressure of that if I just on the spot said, hey, why don't you sing a little number?
I would be happy to.
All right. So listen, we're going to do that. But before we do this, the Red Sox won 9-0 over the Oakland A's. And I saw online the announced crowd in Oakland was 6,600 people. Like, that's what's going on. Yeah, yeah. This is what's going on out there in Oakland. The fans are revolting because their team has been atrocious forever. It just seems like baseball is broken. Like, the whole system, it's just so dumb the way that it is. You can't have the New York Yankees can pay billions of dollars to people and the Dodgers paying all this extra money and they don't care about the extra taxes. And then you have Oakland who's playing nothing. Do we know? I mean, this is why you only get 6,600 people going to the game last night, Mitty, in Oakland. They committed 5 errors.
And most of them were Red Sox fans.
Speaking of
baseball, did you know the Yankees are on pace for a perfect season, 162-0?
Good for them. They'll choke in the playoffs like they always do. I hope people, you know, love them and tout them all the way through. They don't ever win anything in the playoffs anymore. Being a Yankees fan is like, you know, not a fun experience, and I'm not a
good time.
A Yankees fan. Well, at least with the Red Sox, at least we're not trying. You know, like the Yankees are still spending tons of money every year, signing these big name people like they always do, and then the guys break down their horrible contracts.
That's what's wrong with baseball. I mean, you look at like boxing, they have weight classes. You know, you go into baseball and it's like, hey, you know, we got a whole bunch of really good teams and a bunch of really crappy teams and a bunch of stuff in between. What do you want to do?
I don't know. Let's just have them play each other.
That's exactly what's going on. Well, the Yankees can beat all these teams that they want right now. They're going to choke again in the playoffs if they're lucky enough to get there. Now, the Red Sox. Like I said, we know we're not trying because the ownership is pretty much telling us they're not trying because they're not spending any money. Well, lo and behold, the Red Sox come out and we're off to a pretty decent start. Our pitching is good. Tanner Houck last night strikes out 10. That makes five starting pitchers so far through 5 games, and they've all had excellent outings, which is cool to see. But
you know what makes me wonder? You look at like San Diego, L.A., New York, the teams that are still spending big bucks. I'm not sure I'm even onto something here, but I mean, when was the last time the team that spent the most on their team won the World Series?
The Rangers did spend some money. They didn't spend the most last season.
Nobody's going to touch the Dodgers.
No, nobody's. Right, exactly. Well, that's the thing is when you have all that talent on the same team, it's very tough to get those players to be hungry. I mean, this is the same type of thing. It's the same thing with basketball with Celtics, with Jason Tatum. Everybody's telling him he's great. I mean, really, even on the show here, we were saying Tatum for MVP. And, you know, we can build an argument around that. But if you watch basketball, like, he's not like half the player Jokic is. We could say Tatum is the most valuable player, but really, Jokic is by far
a competitor.
Better than him.
He's a harder competitor.
And he's won a title. Like, that shows
he's
in
a
and
winner.
Of itself. So, Tatum, I'm hoping he can get there this year.
Hopefully he gets there, gets a taste of it, and realizes, okay, this is what I want.
That's the thing.
But
as soon as that happens, Mitty, something will change.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, when he rises up in the air, he won't be looking to draw a foul. He'll be like, I'm going to win the game with this shot, just like I've done it before. To get there to win this season, we're going to need him to win us a game or two.
You didn't see the end of the game. You said you were watching Caitlin Clark. But the Celtics actually, you know, my friend, let me give you a point, an example. My friend Steve, he is a huge Celtics fan to the point where he's so nice, he actually lets me know what the score was before I get to watch the game on record. Such a nice guy. But the Celtics finally got the ball to Jason Tatum down by one at the last second, and he missed.
Yeah, against Atlanta.
He does not have that clutch shot for some reason. He hits them all game long, but when it's really important, him and Brown just clank.
The defense is tighter. I mean, look at the last bunch of games. Remember against Cleveland when they came back from being down 22, Cleveland against us, that last possession, they bodied Tatum. He couldn't get to his spot.
Do you remember when Toronto won the championship a couple years ago?
With Kawhi, yeah.
Oh, Kawhi Leonard. You said Kawhi. Didn't he win the MVP that year? And didn't he get the ball with somebody in his face with his hands up over him, fall backwards out of bounds, and bounce that ball in and win the game?
Yeah, it was against the 76ers.
So it is possible with somebody in your face to hit the game-winning shot. We should tell Tatum that, because apparently if you defend, that stops them from hitting the shot. Is that what's going on here?
Well, I think you're right. It's probably
unless
more in his mindset.
Winner.
It's not necessarily what the other people are doing. I just noticed that, well, at the end of the game situations, he's not getting free and clear looks for the most part. There's people right on him. And, yeah, maybe there's a mental thing, Mitty, with some players sometimes.
It was me.
I was a choker. I'll tell you right now. Right. I can say I could beat Caitlin Clark sheerly because of my defense.
I want to go up to Steph Curry right now and say, hey, Steph, so I just want to get an idea what you'd do. If you were down by one and you got 3 seconds left and somebody gets you the ball, is he going to say, well, hold on, is there going to be a defender in my face? Because I don't want that. No, he's going to say, give me the ball. It's going in.
Some people are chokers, man, and I know it because I am. At the end of game situations, I didn't really want the ball. I wanted somebody else on my team. Yeah, it's that much. It's I don't know how else to say it, but it just the nerves would catch up too much. My body would lock down. So
kinda
when
like
I see
me
other people
on stage
doing
the
it,
other night.
No, you did fine. What are you talking about?
I was shaking. My knees were going.
Yeah, Mitty was talking about his karaoke performance the other night. I thought he did excellent. Mitty is one heck of a talented singer. We're going to have to hear from him.
Not enough.
No, I have to hear from him. Later on.
We're rooting Dante tonight. On at this point. Dante Isaiah, Hampton Beach Idol.
Yeah, it is Hampton Beach Idol is going on. When is the semifinal?
April 11th.
April 11th.
For everybody that's listening, go down to Wally's down at Hampton Beach, April 11th for that Hampton Idol. Dante's going to be rocking it.
It's going to be an interesting time. Everybody gets together to support their friends who are at the Idol competition. I think there's going to be like 30 people. So there's 30 parties kind of all getting together, and everybody's in a pretty decent mood. So that'd be a good time for people to go to. And good singers. No
check him out on YouTube, Dante Isaiah. He's got that song Ghosts that I showed you.
Yeah. Oh. NHTalkRadio.com.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we are right now, WKXL Radio. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. The Boston Bruins play tonight. We'll discuss that when we come back here. Big week for the Bruins, I'm going to tell you right now. It's just the time of year where you want to, like, grab a hold of things and not let go. Tonight we play at the Nashville Predators. And I just looked, Nashville Predators, they're going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference. They're going to be 7 or 8 seed. So they're a good team. And the opportunity for the Bruins is that last night, the Florida Panthers lost to the Maple Leafs. Toronto, who's in third place in their division, beats Florida, who's in second place, 6-4. And then in the other division in the East here, Metropolitan, I think they call it, the Penguins win 5-2 over the Rangers. So the Bruins now stand alone at the top of the Atlantic by 2 points with the same amount of games played as Florida. Right, we'd like to get this number two seed, everybody, if it's possible. I believe that's how I'm looking at this. I'd like to see the Bruins get the number two seed, although first round, that might make us have to play. No, that would make us play Toronto, who is a team that we've beaten up on, Mitty. How much of these other teams are you paying attention to besides the Bruins?
I like to kind of keep an eye on just the top of the standings. You know, I'm not going to follow, you know, dead last in hockey, because hockey's slow enough as it is.
Hockey's fast if you watch.
It's fast,
a commitment.
But slow. It's the scoring that's slow.
It's exactly, and it's so bad when you look away for 2 seconds and somebody scores a goal. And like, I watched this for 15 minutes or 20 minutes and there was nothing, and then I look away for 1 second to grab a soda and boom, there's a goal scored. That's the piece that
happens to me. Every once in a while I'll sit down and I will really be interested in watching a hockey game, and it's always the one that's like 1-0 in overtime, where it's, God, can I see any scoring? It's always just a bunch of hits and losing the puck, turnover, back and forth.
What I've realized is if you know all the players on the team and you know their skill sets, you watch the game differently because you watch the hits.
Right.
The guys on the other team have the puck, they're against the boards, and you see our guys coming down. If it's Trent Frederick or if it's Justin Brazeau, it's different than if you see Pasternak coming down, because Brazeau and Frederick are going to look like clobber the guy a little bit into the boards. With Pasternak, he's going to come in. He might be able to hit, but he's more likely to come in and just find a way to steal that puck off the stick. And just watching the game from that avenue and knowing the strengths of each player puts it in a different spin for me. Now, that's the way I'm looking at it, because I've spent so much time this year watching hockey.
Well, Pasternak is he's like a ballerina on his skates. He's so talented. And it really stinks that, you know, once you get past Pasternak, there's just not a lot of that on the team.
Charlie McAvoy.
You know, you got a few good players, but you don't have the star power that you did just a couple years ago.
I'm not sure other teams do either, Mitty. I'm not sure other teams do either. Like, I think, that, of course, you want to have a superstar-laden team with everybody being able to do all kinds of nutso moves, but not for nothing. Like, I think people would say Edmonton kind of has that, right? But in 73 games played, Edmonton has 95 points, and in 75 games played, we got 101. So yeah, it's like, you know, for close. Connor McGregor, and they've got other players on that, they got speed. The Bruins have a team full, a collection of
Connor
tough
McGregor.
Dudes who play, not Connor McGregor, it's Connor McDavid.
I'd tell you, though, that would be an interesting addition to hockey, because you know Connor McGregor would be like, yeah, that's fine, I'm gonna strap on a pair of skates, I'll get out there, because he'll play any sport, UFC, boxing, I'm sure he'll play hockey. He likes to punch people in the face, especially if they don't deserve it.
How would he do it if he was on skates? See, if Thomas Polk was calling the show right now, I would ask Thomas if he was on skates and Conor McGregor was on skates. Because this Freudian slip I just made, I didn't even catch it in my
mind.
This is because I'm old. I'm glad you brought it up. But if Thomas was here, I'd be like, do you think you could take Conor McGregor in a fight if you guys were both on skates? I'd love to hear what Thomas says. I'm gonna ask him tomorrow. I'm gonna ask him to come on the show.
See,
and
what you got to think about in this situation though is, you have to paint the full picture if you're gonna put that up. Are we going to take the ice and put it up in the boxing ring and have them skating around up on the ice in the ring, or are we taking ropes down to the hockey rink? You know, are they gonna be a fighting ring in there? We need to get these details.
Just leave it in the hockey rink the way that it is. The
put him up against Marchand.
Him
up against Marchand. He licks him in the face, and McGregor's out. He's out. He's tapped.
Nice.
He's done.
Yeah, no, nobody wants to fight Marchand. We know that. This team, that's why watching the Bruins, I'm telling you, I know you said, hey, sometimes you're not that invested in the hockey, but when the playoffs come,
I'm in.
You watch Marchand in these playoffs, he is going to be nuts. Years past, he was, if we remember, like, he was a dirty player.
Oh, of course.
And he would do stupid stuff and end up in the penalty box. This year,
he was like Mike Tyson on skates.
He really was. But this year, he's dialed that stuff back. He's the captain of the team, and I really think we're going to get a guy who's going to walk the line, but do it very intelligently and with aggressiveness, yeah.
Well, when you don't have a whole bunch of talented superstars on your team, what you do have is a bunch of role players. And if everybody knows their role, that's actually kind of key, especially once you get into the playoffs, because you cannot make a person that's not super talented all of a sudden be super talented, because that's what you get is what you get. But when you have role players and everybody understands their role, they can always step up that role.
It's the perfect team. That's a great description.
Yeah, be a little Mitty. Tougher.
Justin Brazeau, who I call Brazzers on here, the dude's 26 years old. He played his first NHL game this year for the Bruins. He's come in. He's contributing every night. He's body checking. He's scoring goals. This guy is a role player, but he's playing incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole team, I think, you let Charlie Coyle and Hampus Lindholm on the defensive side of things lead the way for their twosomes. And then you got Marchand and Coyle, Zacha and Pastrnak. We have the top-end talent to get things done in the playoffs, and you need to be believing it and watching it, because the Bruins fans, they're going to help us get there, Mitty. I really believe this in the Garden. I think the Bruins fans are going to be up to the challenge. I think
absolutely.
Once the playoffs start, if they're not cheering the right way, I'm going to be able to tell them from this microphone right here how to cheer.
Hey, I'm fine with that. So basically, you're on to it. I mean, when you want to go far, you got to know your role and do it. You know, just know what it is that makes you special to that team and do it as hard as you can until the playoffs are over. And if you can go home and sleep at night, then you gave it everything you got.
Knowing their role is very important. Let's get to the music piece I was thinking about with you when I was riding in the car the other day. You know this song by Seven Nation Army by the Red Stripes?
Which one?
Isn't it the Seven Nation Army couldn't hold
I'm
me
down? I'm gonna fight it off. A Seven Nation Army couldn't hold me back.
See people pretty good. That's just one line, but this dude's a pretty good singer. That I really believe that would be a good karaoke song for you. I think the crowd loves that. Dun, 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 don't wanna talk about it. Something like that. I don't know all the words, but
everybody's got a story to tell.
See, someday if you come out to karaoke, we're gonna have to go to karaoke someplace. We're gonna take this show on the road, the Sports Machine with Slim and Mitty, and we're gonna try and get a crowd at a good karaoke place.
I would love nothing more than to sit at a table with you with a microphone on each side with these headphones on and destroy a poo-poo platter.
Well, and destroy people's singing. I think us commenting on karaoke singers, well, you know, that effort, us being the judges would be pretty good.
I would love to be a judge.
What part of the poo-poo platter is most exciting for you that you'd love to destroy?
Well, the obvious answer isn't coming out. I'd be honest with you, I love, depending on where you're going, you ever heard of, Toy. That place has the best egg roll.
This is in Manchester.
An egg roll dunked in that duck sauce is, yes. Goffstown over on Mast. And they got another one about a quarter mile up the road, North Garden. So I think nothing brings better food to a community like two places competing against each other.
I'm going to go to this place and see if they'll advertise on the show.
Of course they will.
Of course they will.
Oh, I have no idea.
They do have karaoke nights, this place in Goffstown, too. Is this, I think, Wednesday? How often do they do karaoke?
Thursdays.
Thursday
every
nights.
Thursday, yeah.
Huh. Okay. Absolutely. Chinese food, karaoke. It's just a good night, people.
All right.
We've done a lot of side discussions today. We don't do that terribly. I think some people love this show because we do all sports. Well, today we tested them a little bit. Reaching into that box last night as I saw the snakes, I just was like, I have to talk about this on the radio because this is like, dude, that's like torturous. You should not be able to do that as a TV show, but somehow they're able to do it and the people are like, okay, I'm going to stick my hands in there, even though you could tell they were getting hurt.
Yeah, that's
fear factor.
Yeah, well, we can talk about fear factor. We can talk about whatever we want because what is this? The next generation?
Next generation sports talk radio show. The sports
generation. Next generation strange.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. This ESPN is the place to go if you want to hear about LSU and Iowa. Their coverage is wall to wall. Everybody's into women's college basketball, Mitty, and I'm glad for it. Caitlin Clark, she's done a great thing.
Well, I mean, it is kind of nice watching somebody that's good at sports and pretty.
I think it's been an excellent show, and we're going to do it again.
Shoot hoops, be pretty.
Soon enough. NHTalkRadio.com, WKXL, is 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Stay away from the snakes.
Oh, yeah.